So, thinking about peacemaking. And this follows on from what we were thinking about this morning. Thinking about days like this, Remembrance Sunday, when we remember and recognise those who have given so much. Those who paid the ultimate price of offering their lives so that we might live. Those who still give and suffer due to war and conflict. As we reflect on that this evening, we're going to continue to think about alternative approaches to resolving disputes and disagreement. We thought about that this morning. We're going to carry that on this evening. And we're going to be focusing particularly on this idea of peace. We've read about the peace that God provides. Those words right at the beginning where Paul prays God's grace and peace into the life of his friend. We've sung songs that recognise the peace that is only available in God. We will pray for peace later. We've heard in that reading that Esme read the call for the followers of Jesus to live in a different way, including a way where we seek, where we are called to bring peace into the world. And we read these words of Jesus: "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." This desire for peace is something that clearly is part of the heart of God. It's important to God, it's important to his people. When we look around the world, we see that it's important to other people as well. It's a major focus of the world community. The United Nations, that global body, for example, organises, equips and manages different types of operations to try and monitor, to try and observe, to try and implement peace agreements between warring nations. We see many examples of that going on around the world from time to time. But there's a couple of interesting things I saw when I was looking at this about the way that the United Nations goes about this. When people are sent in, they're sent in normally as peacekeepers. They're there to follow up on peace agreements that have been brokered elsewhere. The people on the ground are rarely the ones who are there trying to bring peace to a situation. Their job is to preserve a peace that has been put in place. Most of the peacekeeping missions sent by the United Nations and other organisations either are made up of military personnel or include military personnel, suggesting that the only way to keep peace in those situations is through military power. And that's so much of how the world seems to operate. It's not a new thing. In 1873, the Colt Firearms Company in America produced a gun called the Peacemaker. Obviously, the idea was that the way to bring peace into the West at that time was at the point of a gun. And there is this sense in the world around us that to keep peace, we need to use force. But the call of Jesus says that there is another way, a fundamentally different way that is more aligned to the heart and nature of God. And that's what we're going to think about this evening. As we do so, we'll think about the way of life Jesus calls for and how Jesus encourages us to think and to pray and to change the world in which we live. How should this call for peace relate how we think about and approach this subject of war and conflict? How does a call for peace help us engage and come to terms with the fact that in a church in Texas last Sunday there was a shooting where 26 people, more than are here this evening, were killed as they came to worship God? How does this call for peace help us to engage with the conflicts that we get involved in our own lives? And we start with these words of Jesus. These powerful, surprising, challenging statements of Jesus at the beginning of what we now refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. where he calls his followers to choose a different way of living, a way that will seem strange, a way that might sound impossible, but a way that is modelled closely on how he himself chose to live his life. There's a progression from the call right at the beginning to those who are poor in spirit, to the recognition that if you adopt this way of life, if you follow this way of life that Jesus is calling you to, you will be persecuted. It's part of the deal. And the recognition of peacemakers comes towards the end of that list. A list in which, if we had time to explore it in detail this evening, we would see it starts with people who recognise their total dependency on God. That it is only God who can deal with their sin. They've come to a point in their spirit, in their lives, in their thoughts, in their realisation, where they realise they can do nothing for themselves. And so they turn to God, ask his forgiveness. They turn to God to gain citizenship in a new kingdom, in God's kingdom. They recognise their sinful nature. They grieve over it. They mourn over it. They are sorry and they receive comfort from God, even when no other source of comfort is available. People who are amazed that broken and sinful as they are, as we are, can receive God's mercy and grace and enter into the wonderful things that God has prepared for his people. People who seek to live as sinners who have been forgiven by God and want to live for him and have come to realise that's the only way of living life to the full. Hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness, knowing that that is the way, the only way to fullness of life. People who, because of the mercy they have received, are prepared to extend mercy and forgiveness to others. People who are real in their relationship with others, not seeking to deceive or to hide secrets from them. And it's those people who've progress through this understanding of who they are, of who God is, of what God wants to do in their lives, of what God is able to do in their lives, of the privilege of receiving mercy, of the privilege of offering mercy. It is these people who are called to be peacemakers. So if these are the sorts of people whom God calls to be peacemakers, what are they able to achieve? How are they supposed to go about it? And to think about that, we're going to do three things. We're going to look at the source of peace. We're going to look at the example of Jesus. And then with those things in our minds, we'll think about how we can be involved in this divine work of peacemaking. So the first thing we see is that peacemaking is from God. That's the ultimate source of peace. It's about reconciliation. It's about drawing people, organisations, groups together. It's about addressing the reason for disagreement and separation. It's about restoring something that has been broken. It goes to the core of the real problems that cause dissension and strife. It doesn't paper over the issues, but it repairs them. There are many people and organisations that work for peace. Some of them do amazing things and need to be recognised. But they all fall short of being able to address the real issues, the real causes of division and brokenness. Jesus refers to this when he speaks and says that the peace he comes to offer is of a different class to that which we see around us. Just before he went to the cross, he was talking to his followers and he spoke about peace. He said, yeah, I'm going, but I'm going to leave you with peace. Leave peace with you. My peace I give you, he says. I don't give to you as the world gives. It's a different type of peace. A peace that allows them, in whatever situation they find themselves, to not let their hearts be troubled, to not be afraid. There is no need for fear because they are living in and under the peace of Jesus. God is in the business of providing real, deep, lasting peace. And it's something that he does through the person and work of his beloved Son. There's these amazing words that Paul writes in Colossians. Through him, speaking about Jesus, through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God is in the business of reconciling everything to himself. Things on earth, things in heaven. That was a figure of speech to basically say everything is included. Nothing is left out. And Paul says this is what God is doing, and he's doing it through the work of Jesus, through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Yes, it was a big problem. Yes, it needed a big solution. And that is what Jesus was able and willing to provide. This verse talks about an amazing scope of what God is doing. It's not just about bringing peace into individual conflicts or situations, but it's about reconciling everything, drawing everything that was broken and disfigured and damaged and stained back to God. It's not just about patching up differences between individuals or nations, but about dealing with the problem that separates God and humanity. It cost God his Son. It cost Jesus his life. That's how important it was for God to be able to find a way of bringing peace into this world. A demonstration of how much he loves us. So this is something that, in its widest sense, only God can do. No wonder those who are involved in the work of peacekeeping, in the work of peacemaking, in whatever they are engaged, are recognised as children of God. One of the charges that sometimes are brought against those who seek to work for peace is they're focused on appeasing, of not addressing and dealing with the causes of evil, but seeking to accommodate it and to live alongside it. It's an easy way out. It allows people to live together, but the problems and divisions are still there under the surface and can easily bubble up and erupt all over again. This is generally accepted to have been the policy of Neville Chamberlain, our Prime Minister, just before the start of the Second World War. And we see it in many situations and contexts today. We see it in parts of the world where racial differences have officially been dealt with, but the tension still exists. We see this where families with deep divisions get along, but any sense of trust or relationship has gone. We see this where churches ignore real disagreements for the sake of an illusion of unity. But this is not the sort of peace that God is involved in. God did not ignore the problem of sin and evil. He chose to act to deal with it. He was prepared to do so even when this involved the cruel, painful death of his dearly beloved Son. It was costly, but it dealt with the problem as nothing else could have done. And so because of that, it's the story of Jesus that shapes our understanding, that shapes our lives, that shapes the way we go about thinking about peace. As we reflect on the life of Jesus, we recognise his miraculous birth, his spirit-filled life, his sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection, his glorious ascension in the power of an eternal life. And it is that life, that victory, that informs how we too should live and seek to triumph over the evil that surrounds us in our local context and in the wider world. It is a way to peace that involves service, a way to peace that involves suffering, a way to peace that involves carrying a cross, a way to peace that requires total obedience to and trust in God. It's a way that doesn't shrink back from taking the hard path, but a way that is followed until the end, however painful that may be. It is not a way of violence. It's a way of peace. It's not through pursuit of war or military might, but it's through sacrifice. We may not be able to make peace across the whole world. That will need to wait until the return of Jesus. But we can be peacemakers in our own context. And some of us may sometimes have the opportunity to seek to do that on a wider stage. So the question that the love and the mercy and the reconciliation of God, the question that the life and the sacrifice of Jesus challenges with, the question that the challenge of Remembrance Sunday raises, is, are we going to be prepared to take on this call of Jesus, and to seek to be peacemakers in a dark and difficult and dangerous world? If so, how? How can we make a difference? First of all, we shouldn't be surprised if when we follow the example and call of Jesus and get involved in our maybe small efforts at peacemaking, that it comes with a price. It might involve hardship. It might involve giving up something that's important to us, even if that's just our opinions. It might involve putting ourselves in the middle of difficult or dangerous situations, of being prepared to make ourselves vulnerable to others. And that shouldn't surprise us, because this is the way of peace that Jesus pursued, and the path that we are often called to tread as we follow his example and in his footsteps. What it does mean is that the peace we are able to offer to those involved in disputes and conflict and tension is not a cheap peace. We can't go along to two people and two groups and suggest that they can live in peaceful coexistence while the real issues that divide them are still in force. We need to show a way in which they can move past them and resolve them and address them, put those differences really behind them, and start to live from within a totally different relationship. It's hard work. A few weeks ago, Bev was speaking about the challenge of discipline in the church. And this can sometimes be the work of peacemaking and reconciliation. And it's no good just papering over the cracks. The real issues need to be identified, brought to the surface, and addressed. One of the prime examples of our call to be peacemakers is to invite others to be reconciled to God, to call people to find peace with God. That's the ultimate peace. That's the primary peace that is of importance, of value to everybody. And here we join with people through the ages, the prophets, the call of John the Baptist to the people who thronged to him at the Jordan River as he called on them to repent. The words of Jesus as he looks at those who are trying to work out what to make of him, and he says, come and follow me. The pleading of Paul for people to be reconciled to God. He says this when he writes to the church at Corinth: we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's an amazing statement Paul was able to make as he wrote to this church that he'd done so much for, he'd invested so much in, and to say, you know, when we're here, when we're talking to you, when we're engaging with you, it's as though God is speaking through us. We are God's representatives. We are God's mouthpiece. We are God's ambassador. We've been sent by God to bring God's message to you. And that message is be reconciled to him. Robert was praying earlier about the importance of going and speaking to those around us and sharing something of the love and the grace and the mercy of God, and to encourage them to be reconciled to God. This is the primary part of our peacemaking. We don't have the option of making this out to be easy. Reconciliation is not cheap. We need to make sure that people understand that there is a cost involved in following Jesus. There is a call to discipleship and obedience and suffering to be part of that list that Esme read earlier and to say this is what it means to follow Jesus. But we do have the responsibility to point out that this is the only way of living in peaceful, meaningful relationship with God. One of the aspects of this peace that we have to offer is that it's not found at the point of a gun, not forced upon people by military power, but made possible through the willing, self-sacrificing, obedient offering of Jesus as he carried out his Father's will, as he put in place the basis for our reconciliation with God. Real peace can only be found through the transforming work of Jesus and those who are prepared to receive peace from him and to follow his example. So those of us who enjoy have been brought into a relationship of knowing that we have peace with God. What an amazing privilege to know that the sins of our lives, the things we've done wrong, the things that have damaged who we are, those have been dealt with and we have peace with God. We also experience the peace of God as he pours his love and his spirit and his grace into our lives. Those of us who have received that and enjoy that have a responsibility to reach out to others and to seek to share that peace with them. It may involve introducing them to Jesus, the Prince of Peace we were singing about earlier. It may involve working with them to bring the light and love of Jesus into difficult situations. It might involve simply being there as a peaceful presence. I remember a situation in my previous career, towards the end of my time. I don't think it was a reason why I couldn't carry on working there anymore. But we had managed to totally alienate an important client. He was a key person in the organisation that we were working with. And the reason we did something he didn't like was his boss had told us to. His boss wanted us to look at something different to what this guy was telling us to do. And we thought, well, we have to do what the more senior guy tells us. So we did. And he found out, this other guy. And he was furious with us that we'd been doing this stuff without telling him. And we said, well, yeah, that's what your boss told us to do. That didn't cut it. He didn't care. He was furious with us. It was probably easier to be angry with us than with his boss. And we thought, we need to do something to address this. And I'd never actually been happy with what was with the situation that we'd been put in. And so I volunteered to go and talk to this guy and respond to his concerns and to try and make things right. It was not easy. It was costly. It was hard. But it was the right thing to do. A small example, when we think about the major issues that we face in our world, that our world faces. But sometimes, all that we have as individuals have the influence to address are the small examples. And it's important to recognise that each one impacts a person, people, who are normally suffering and hurting for a wide range of reasons. Could be in our families, could be among our friends, could be in our neighbourhoods, could be in our places of work. And as we seek to be peacemakers in those situations, we are living as the children of God. Sometimes we have the opportunity to engage in wider situations, to come alongside those who are finding the pressures they are under nearly overwhelming, to support organisations who are working to bring peace, to pray for those who have significant responsibility in these areas. Remembrance Sunday reminds us of the horrors of war and calls us to seek peace. And we, as God's people, are the only ones who are able to recognise where real peace comes from and to be involved in bringing it into the world. That's an amazing privilege, But it's an awesome responsibility. Are we prepared to live up to that responsibility and show what it means to be daughters and sons of God? In what areas of life are you able to be a peacemaker this week? Are you prepared to take on that role, even if it will cost, even if it will take you out of your comfort zone, even if it will make others resist you and criticize you? Those are things Jesus did. How would you go about it? What might it look like? What would you hope to achieve? Are we prepared to pray for opportunities to be peacemakers and to see God at work in people's lives and situations through us? I can think of my calendar for the coming week, and there's lots of people I'll be spending time with. I'm not unique in that. We all have the opportunity to engage with people, some of whom will be suffering, some of whom will need to experience peace in a life-changing way, and we may be the person that God is calling to go alongside them and to say, there is peace, there is reconciliation, there is hope. Are we prepared to do that? Let's be quiet. Let's think about that. Let's pray about that for a moment, and then I will lead us in prayer.